God cares about how you feel. We all face moments of insecurity in our life every single day. For some in this room, you walk into a room full of people and the insecurity is just palpable. You just feel it. It hurts that you're going to have to walk into a room of people you don't know. For other people, it is worry on the job and shows up in insecurity. And for some, it's the way we look, and it's a problem, and it's never based in reality. These things are never based in truth, but we all deal with insecurity on some level in our lives, every one of us. And Satan loves to exploit those moments of insecurity to isolate us, to cause us to push people away, to let our anger show up in our lives. One of the people in the Bible where this showed up the most was King Saul. And King Saul was just working on a farm, and a few weeks later, he is being anointed as the first king of Israel. No other character in the Bible do we see their insecurities on display any more than this guy, King Saul. The Bible said he was a head taller than everybody else, and he was the best looking guy around. Now, when we look at him, we go, wow, he has got it together. The outward characteristics is what we love. And yet inside, he wasn't feeling it at all. When the people gathered to anoint him as king of Israel, they couldn't find him. They're getting ready to anoint him to be the king, and he is nowhere to be found. They are having such a hard time finding him, the Bible says they started to pray. They're like, where is he, Lord? They started to pray for God to help them find him. 1 Samuel 10:22, he says this, so they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. He's hiding among the stuff. He didn't even want to be around people. He was so overcome with insecurity. Now, on the outside, he's the perfect leader. On the inside, he's terrified. He's insecure. Saul was understandably overwhelmed at this point in his life. He was going from farm boy to king overnight almost. Just a few chapters earlier, he's out working on the farm. So I get it, and I would probably be scared as well. Now, as the story of Saul starts to unfold, we realize that he never dealt with his emotional and spiritual baggage. He just allowed that insecurity not only to grip him and control him, but to guide every step of his life. That insecurity became the thing that controlled his life. He started off as celebrated young leader, and he turned into fearful, manipulative, vengeful, murderous psychopath. I mean, he went from being the darling to being the evil, the antagonist in just a short amount of time, because he never dealt with the insecurity. He never put his trust fully in God. He tried, now watch this, he tried to pin young David to the wall with a spear, because other people were looking at David and saying, boy, he's going to be special. He'll be the king one day. And Saul couldn't handle that because of his insecurity. So he decided, instead of handling it in the right way and mentoring a young guy that's eventually going to be the leader, he decides, I'm just going to kill him now. He tries multiple times to kill him. One time, Saul went looking for advice from a demonic medium. He went looking. He didn't look to God. He looked to somebody that Satan was using for direction. One time, or multiple times, there were strategic mistakes in battle because Saul got ahead of God because he needed to be the hero in the moment and just made a mess of things. One time, he even threatened to kill his own son in a rash vow to his men. His life was just out of control. This insecurity thing was just so palpable in his life that he never was able to deal with it. Now, I hope you don't go from being the darling to being a psychopathic killer, all right? I don't think that's going to happen. But Saul went from being just a bad leader to being a dangerous leader. So when we allow insecurity in our lives to guide us instead of God's grace, and instead of finding confidence in God, and we allow this insecurity to guide us, we become dangerous to the people around us. We become volatile. Our tempers get out of control. Our selfishness gets out of control. It's very much like the crab bucket syndrome. I don't know if you've ever seen a bucket of crabs before, but if a fisherman catches the crabs and he starts to fill the bucket up, there will be one crab that's reaching up. He thinks he can almost make it out, right? He's trying so hard. And before he gets out, the other crabs grab him and drag him back down into the bucket. And he starts trying again, and they do exactly what they're designed to do, grab and pull. And those crabs in the bucket are fighting to pull him down, and he's fighting to pull himself up. And eventually he becomes so exhausted, he just gives in, and he's stuck there for somebody to eat with some good butter later. All right? Sometimes, now can we just be very real this morning? Sometimes we are the one being pulled down. And sometimes we're the one doing the pulling down. Sometimes our insecurity gets to us so badly that we do what the crab does. We just instinctively reach up and just pull them back down. Now, we don't ever say that it's because we're insecure and fearful. We make up a good reason. We'll fake it so that we still look good in other people's eyes. And so we'll just come up with lies, to be quite honest with you. People aren't naturally supportive of those that are doing well. All right, we said we're going to be honest, right? We're just not naturally supportive of people who rise above us. That's a decision we have to make to help lift people up along the way. Now, the Bible tells us this a million different ways. Bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, pray for one another. It goes on and on and on with the one another's. It's because the Bible knows that we are not good at lifting other people up. We're really good at talking bad about people. You ever been in this conversation? I'm just telling you this so you can help me pray. And then there's 5 minutes of juicy gossip that follow. That's called insecurity. All right. Now we lied about it. We said we're lifting them up, but really we're just pulling them down. I need to get them back down here with me because I'm a loser, and I need to get them back down here with all the other losers. I don't need them rising up. Now, if we are willing to face it and deal with it and realize that sometimes we're being pulled down, sometimes we are the one pulling other people down, and we recognize that it's dangerous, all right, and we got to do something about it, and we can't let that insecurity and that fear control our lives every day because we're just naturally insecure. Everybody you see in this room and everybody you will ever meet in your whole life is struggling with something in some way, all right? You see right here, you saw the biggest guy, King Saul. You saw the biggest guy, best-looking guy around. The Bible says, and he is struggling on the inside. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at somebody and say, well, they think they're special, don't they? Look at them. Put our hands on our hips, shake our head around. They think they're special when we don't know that on the inside they might be struggling. They might have all the money, but on the inside they're struggling. And we want to pull them down because we don't understand their struggle. It becomes dangerous when we stop the one another's. We stop bearing one another's burdens. We stop encouraging one another. We stop loving one another. We stop lifting up one another. We stop building up one another. When we stop that, We become dangerous to the people around us. It's our job to start lifting other people up. Now, there's some things we need to get. If we're going to be that kind of person, we have to work on us. All right. And I do mean work on us. Now, God will start the process, but he will not do all the work for you. If you want to be well, you got to do some work. All right. It starts by understanding who you are and who I am in Christ. So I'm going to share about five things with you very quickly. Here's the first one. In Christ, I am chosen. I'm chosen. I know I got insecurities, but God chose me. Now, before I read the scripture, maybe you're just all great athletes. I was a terrible athlete, all right, growing up. All right, I was just not a good athlete, and I'm okay with that, all right? So what? You know, we made it. But I remember in seventh grade, the coach said, all right, we're going to pick teams. Somebody, you pick them, you pick them. And I remember thinking, I'm going to be last. I know I am going to be last. You got to be tough to be last. I ain't lying to you. You got to be strong to be last. And so sure enough, I pick him. And it's always the best athlete. You know, I'm going to grab him. Nobody ever says, you know what? Wooten looks like he can play. Let's pick him. That's not the way it worked. And it would come down to the last two. All right, I don't need you to feel sorry for me. We're over it. But two of us, the other guy's this tall and weighs 27 pounds. And me. I'm not going to lie to you. Fear sets in. If I'm the last one, if he picks him before he picks me. Now, I think I've blocked it out. And to be honest with you, I can't remember who got picked last. It must have been me or I would remember, right? Now, when I realize that, when in life, there are going to be moments where other people get picked earlier. Somebody gets picked for the promotion. Somebody gets this. Somebody gets that. The Bible, we need to understand who we are in Christ, not who we are in this world, not who we are in fame and fortune and followers, who we are in Christ, all right? That's why we're starting this with, in Christ I am chosen, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. God picked you on purpose. God chose you, not last, first. Here's the second one. In Christ, I'm free. In Christ, I walk in freedom. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. I'm free. I can be free from insecurity and fear and worry and anxiety. I can be free, but I have to know that it comes in Christ, not just in my ability. If I work on me without Christ, I can get better for a little bit, but I need Jesus if I'm going to be better permanently, all right? Here's number three. In Christ, I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I remember in kids' church, we used to sing this song. I've sang it to you before. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working on you and me. He has a plan. And so when we recognize that I'm not here permanently, I'm not here to stay, I'm passing through this phase of my life, he is working on me. Look what he says in Philippians 1 and 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You know when he's going to get finished? When Jesus comes back. And it may be tomorrow, it may be a long time from now. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but that whole time he is working on you. Are you better than you were a month ago? Are you better than you were a year ago? Are you growing? Are you seeing some growth? If you are, you're on the right track. If I recognize that in Christ, I'm a work in progress. I'm not going to have it all figured out today. I'm not going to have all the answers today. Life is not going to look perfect today. I'm going to have to lean on him, which is number four. In Christ, I'm created to do good things. In Christ, if I know who I am in Christ, God created me to do good things. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's masterpiece. Just look at somebody and say, masterpiece. Now look back at that person and say, you're a masterpiece. How many of you believed it when that person said it to you? John said he believed it when Helen said it to him. She's like, you're a masterpiece. We don't believe it. if we're living in insecurity. God created us. God has a plan for us. God cares about our lives. The Bible says in the Old Testament, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and went, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? If I could just lose 24 pounds. Isn't that what we do? We got a million things. If. We got a lot of ifs. If this and if that and if the other. No, no, no. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God is working on my life. A masterpiece. I can understand that God's hand and God's calling is on you. It's on you. When you go to work, God's hand is on you. When you're doing life at home, when you're doing life with friends and church, and God's hand is on you. He designed your life. Now, he didn't say just be the lowest version of yourself, all right? We got to improve. We got to grow. We have to repent. We have to change. We all know this. But God is the one who helps us with all of that. And then here's the fifth one. In Christ, I'm more than a winner. This is not a pep speech, all right? It's just the truth. Look at what Romans 8:37 says. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. God created us to be victorious, to win, to grow. Insecurity will stop us from ever becoming what God wants us to be. If I give up on the calling and the plan of God for my life because I am living in insecurity, it's dangerous for everybody around me. Because I start treating people differently when I don't feel like I'm worth anything. Now, the Bible's very plain. We shouldn't be arrogant. Arrogance is bad. But understanding who I am in Christ is not confidence in me, it's confidence in Him. It's confidence that I am worth something to Him, the Creator of the universe, the God of eternity, that I am worth something to Him. He didn't just throw me out there. He wants to bless me. He wants to use me. He wants me to bring glory to His name. He wants to do things in my life that I cannot do on my own. But insecurity will stop me. Let's go all the way back to King Saul very quickly. King Saul, he's got everything, everything. He's about to really have everything. You're going to be the king of Israel. You're going to be God's man for this moment. And he's hiding, not among friends. He's hiding among the baggage, the Bible says. He's isolated himself because he doesn't feel worthy. And that's what we do, isn't it? If I don't feel worthy, I isolate myself. I don't want to be in front of everybody if I don't feel good about me, so I just pull away, pull away, pull away. And God can't use me if I'm hiding. I love what the King James says, among the stuff. If I'm just hiding among the stuff, just the stuff of life, if I'm just out there hiding, God can't use that. I just want to say to somebody as we close this message this morning, God has a plan for you. And as long as you're hiding, He can't use you. He will never override your free will. He will always give you the decision, the choice to make the decision to follow Him into areas that are uncomfortable. The psalmist said, look, I walk through valleys of shadows of death. I mean, death is around me, and I walk through there, but I'm not afraid. You know who wrote that? That was David that Saul tried to kill. David was the one who said, look, there is death all around me, but I know who I serve. I'm just going to walk with Him. But Saul's out there doing it on his own, not leaning on God, not trusting in God. And he's making one bad decision after another, trying to fill this void in his life that God is just waiting to fill. And David is out there just playing the harp, watching the sheep. He's like, I got it. He's writing songs, singing to God. Why? Because he knows who he is. He knows who he is. He says, God, you're my shepherd. You're the shepherd. You look out for me. You value me as one of your sheep. You care about me. You put your life on the line for me, and I trust you. Is there somebody here this morning that says, I need to trust. I need to really trust the Lord with my life at work, at home, school, at church. I just need to trust God. I want us to pray right now. And if you have not fully put your faith in Christ, if you haven't fully put your faith in Christ, I want you to do it this morning. I want you to let God start to work. Let him deal with that insecurity. Let him start to help you understand who you are in Christ. He's not done with you. He's still working. He's still working. He's developing you and growing you. All right? I want us to pray this prayer together. You pray it in your own way. Lord, I just want to surrender my life to you. All of it, the insecure parts and all. I just want to give it to you. I know who you are. I know you're my Savior, and I'm putting my trust in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, and thank you for all you've done and all you're planning to do. God, we know there's good things in store. Lord, we just ask that you help us. We don't want to be like Saul and just live our lives in an unhealthy way, just wallowing in insecurity. Lord, we want to know, we want to be reminded of who we are in you. And we want to have confidence, Lord, not because of ourselves, but because of you. And we just put it all in your hands, and we trust you, Lord, for what you're doing. God, you created every person in this building, every person that's watching online. You're the creator. You don't create things that you don't have a plan for. You only create when there's a plan. And Lord, you created every person here this morning. And God, we lean on you today, and we trust you, and we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get all right. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you so much for all you have in store for us. And we pray that you would be glorified in everything we do this coming week. We receive your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.